This morning, we're going to cover the gifts of power, if you will. These are the three gifts that do something. So you have the gift of faith, you have the gifts, plural, of healings, plural, and you have miracles.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Hello again and welcome. On the program today, Pastor Bill concludes the message, The Gifts of Power, as a study from 1 Corinthians continues. So, let's listen in.
You need to be committed. I mean, that's how bad it was, God. No, I'm serious. All day long. Now, this was 5 a.m, and all day long. And we lived on a dead-end street. Nobody traveled on that street. We had a little bitty Ace Hardware for sale sign out there. You understand? Oh, every car I would wait. Oh, is that them? I know you're coming. I mean, it's like I was like a madman. You understand? But I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, the home was going to sell today. I think even Thomas is still in counseling over those early years because of that. You know what I mean? No. And then late that evening, the sun was going down, I saw headlights of a car coming up this dead-end street where we lived, came slowly past the house, turned in the little cul-de-sac, and then parked right in front of my house and stopped. A woman got out of the car, came up to the door. I opened the door. She said, I see the for sale sign in this yard, in your yard. House is for sale? Yes. She said, you know what? She said, when I was a little girl, I lived on this street. I live in Colorado now, and I'm retiring. And she said, all my life, I wanted to live in this house. Yes. That woman bought that house, signed that little paper to agree to buy that very evening. Loved one, listen, that's a miracle. Do you understand what I'm saying? But that was the gift of faith. No one could convince me. I don't care what I saw. I knew. Why? Because it wasn't my faith. Do you understand? It wasn't anything to even do with me. It was the faith, God's faith, being imparted to me for a specific time, for a specific purpose, in a specific place. That's what the gift of faith is. God wants you. He'll use you. Why don't you expect that? Why don't you learn what that really means? And then if you say, when that happens to you, you go, I know what it is. Oh, it's not my faith. It's God's faith in me. Something's getting ready to happen. And I know it's going to happen because it's his faith. Are you with me? You see, desire the gifts. Don't be afraid of the gifts. They glorify Jesus. They don't glorify you. Now look at verse 9 again. Another by the faith of the same Spirit. Another gifts of the healings by the same Spirit. Now that's the only gift that we have in the plural form, which means it makes us ask a question. How many gifts of healings are there? I don't know, but there must be many, many. So the gift of healings here, a plural again. This is not natural healing. This right here is supernatural healing power that happens. And you know, God chooses to heal in so many different ways. And listen, you know, I remember, and I tell you, healing is one of the things that have always troubled me greater than in all of them. Until one day the Lord finally spoke to my heart and said, listen, I did not ask you to reconcile whether I heal or not. I asked you to believe it. I never again worried about healing. Are you with me? Because I don't understand it, and no one else understands it at all either. But you know what? I just know that God is a healer, and he chooses, and he has shown us in God's word that he heals in so many different ways. I mean, you have, what, Peter's shadow? You have Paul's handkerchief and so forth, and it's healing plural. So different ways under different circumstances, but again, verse 11, they manifest only as God wills, not as man wills. And only when God wants to do it. In Acts chapter 8, whenever Philip, when he went down to the city of Samaria, And as he went down there, man, he was preaching the good news of the gospel. He was also laying hands upon the sick. They were recovering. The paralyzed were literally healed. They were walking. Those that had demons, it says in Acts chapter 8, verse 5 and following, it says that demons came out and people were set free spiritually and also set free, healed physically. And it says in verse 8 of Acts 5:8, it says, and there was great joy in that city. I guess so. Philip, remember, was not an apostle. He was a table waiter in Acts chapter 6. But it says that he was full of the Holy Spirit of God. He was full of wisdom. Matter of fact, Stephen was a great man of God. But he wasn't, again, he wasn't an apostle. He was a non-apostle. You know, there's those who say, well, see, the miracles and the gifts were only for the 12, the apostles. That's not true. They're for the disciples. Do you understand? They're for all of us. The Bible tells us much about healing. And you go back all the way to the Old Covenant, Exodus 15, 26. What does God tell Moses and the children of Israel? He says, I am the Lord God who healeth thee. When you get over to the Psalms, Psalm 103, verse 3, it says, don't forget the Lord. Don't forget all of his benefits, who cleanses all your iniquities and heals all your diseases. What are we going to do with those scriptures? Because I know people I prayed for that were sick, they had diseases, they weren't healed, they died, and I did their funeral. How do we reconcile all of that? Again, God didn't call us. He's the one who does it, not us. Amen? I'm not the healer. You're not the healer. Jesus is the healer. Amen? We belong to him, and it's his will, not my will, be done. Now, but with all that being said, when Jesus, there in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8, he comes in and he heals everybody, man. And it says in Matthew chapter 8, verse 17, it says this, that it might be fulfilled after he did all these healings, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. That would be Isaiah 53, verse 4, by the way. He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Now, there are those that I respect and I love with all my heart, and they're smarter than I am. But here's the deal about Matthew 8, 17. They say that in that chapter, on that day, when Jesus did all those healings, that Matthew chapter 8, verse 17, and Isaiah 53, verse 4, which prophesied this event, was fulfilled on that very day. Well, that is an impossibility. And the reason it is an impossibility is that Isaiah 54, verse 3, and Matthew 8, 17 was fulfilled not that day. It had to be fulfilled upon the cross. When did he take our sins? On Calvary. Well, that's what this verse points to, not just our sins, but it says that he bore also our sicknesses. I don't understand that. But I just know that that's what the Bible teaches. So are you saying, Bill, that God is a healer? I know God is a healer. I know it beyond the shadow of a doubt. Listen, I don't even, that's so far from my thinking. When I pray for people, it's not, I say, Lord, I hope you heal them. I'm praying in faith, but it's up to God. It's not up to me. See, the reason that I know that God still heals today is that God hasn't changed. Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord God. I changeth not. Hebrews 13, 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Okay, why would we make the Jesus of yesterday less today? Because he never changes. Do you understand? He's the same. Has Jesus' love changed? No. Has his grace changed? No. He doesn't ever change. He can do anything. He's God. Do you understand? Not only that, the reason I know that the healing is still for today is because the word of God has not changed. Matthew, what does it say in Matthew, 5, is it 18? Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. 1 Peter 2, 24, it says, the word of God endureth forever and ever and ever. God's word doesn't change. Are the wages of sin still death? Okay. Well, God's word hasn't changed. Man, listen, we have 66 books. They're not going to change. That's eternal, written in the heavens. But also, the reason I know that God still heals today, I don't understand all of it. I don't have to. It's because after the resurrection, did the apostles bring healing? Yes. But also non-apostles, meaning disciples, did the same thing. And not only that, now that we're in chapter 12 of Corinthians, verse 9, it says that we have the gifts of healings. So we know that they're for today. And not only that, What did Jesus command the church to do, those who believe in him, the risen Christ, after his resurrection, before his ascension? In Mark's gospel, chapter 16, it says, "Go therefore in all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature." You know what I mean. And it says, "And these signs will follow those who believe." Now, that means not the apostles. It means those that they're going to lead to the Lord. The new believers, these signs will follow them that believe. They're going to cast out demons. They're going to lay hands on the sick. They'll recover. They're going to pick up snakes, and they're going to be snake handlers. Come on, come on. No, listen. And it says, and these signs, and Jesus working with them. Jesus was right there like he is with us right now. Those things haven't gone away, loved one. No, listen. And how about if they have, why in the world would God allow in the book of James in the New Testament, James chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, why in the world would he say, is anyone sick among you? Are you sick? It says, let him call Medicare. No, care now. There's nothing wrong with that. Amen. But it says, if there's anyone sick among you, which means if you're a believer, you better be connected to a church someplace. It says, because let him call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint him with oil. And let them pray the prayer of faith. It has nothing to do with the sick person's faith. Let them pray the prayer of faith. And if he sinned, he will be forgiven. In other words, if that sin has caused this sickness, he will be forgiven. And it says, and the Lord will raise him up. That's the word of God. Why is that even there? Listen, don't ever, ever, ever put God in some theological box. It hurts me when I see people speak in the church, when they put down the gifts of the Spirit or and say they're of the devil. Don't ever say that. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are not from the world of darkness. No, don't put God in some theological box. God can do, what's that? Did you hear that? Is that a train or is that music? Woo, what is that? Is it the rapture? We're gone. No, we're left. In the book of Isaiah, remember Hezekiah. Now, Hezekiah loved the Lord. And Isaiah walked in and said, Hezekiah, God says to get your house in order. You're going to die today. Well, that's a great word from God, isn't it? He says that he went to his bed, turned his face to the wall, started praying, crying out to God. He says, oh God, you know that I've walked before you, you know, with a loyal heart and all these things. And then it said that God said to Isaiah, go back and tell him that, you know what, since he's prayed, I'm going to add 15 years to his life. And he says, and I'm going to prove that to him because I'm going to take Ahaz's sundial and he says, I'm going to turn it back 10 degrees. And that's what God did. But now question, but did God heal him supernaturally? No. Remember how God healed him? Isaiah went over and got a lump of figs. He made a poultice out of it and he put it on that boil that was killing him and he recovered. You see, sometimes God does a miracle and then he does it in the natural. Do you understand? Sometimes he uses a miracle to heal and then sometimes he says, go to the doctor. Go get a flu shot. Hello? Take an aspirin, do something. But that's the way God works. We can't always say this is what God is going to do. You know, I know that I've told you this before, but see, you know, the things that I tell you is what's so wonderful, I can document, I can prove it. You know, when I left my first pastorate with my wife, the week before we left, she'd gone to the doctor and they had a sonogram. And in that sonogram, it showed that she had two huge tumors on each side. And that the doctor said, whenever you move now, you're moving to Fort Worth, you find a doctor immediately because if they keep growing, that main artery, if they come, it could kill you. And so we have no money, we have no insurance, I have no job. We move into a little house in Fort Worth, and like I told the first service, that it was so small that you can vacuum the entire house and the garage and never unplug the vacuum cleaner. That's how small it was. And I'm crying out to God. I'd feel so guilty because I didn't provide for my family. I feel like a failure. I've left my first pastorate and all those things. I felt horrible about my life. And I'm trying to find any kind of work because the operation was going to cost so much money if she had to be operated on. And so the weeks went by and we'd go in every 6 weeks and she'd have that sonogram to make sure. And I was doing a big job in Dallas and I was going to get paid for it. And that same day, Becky, my wife, she went to Dr. Parchman here in Fort Worth, Christian man. They're the ones that did all the sonograms. Make a long story short, she's on her way to the doctor. I'm on the way to Dallas to collect money. And as back then, there was what we call the Mixmaster in Fort Worth. And I was on the Mixmaster coming down to 30 to go to Dallas. And as I got on top of the Mixmaster or somewhere on it, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. And this is all he said. Son, use the name of Jesus against the disease in your wife's body. I said, in the name of Jesus, whatever that disease is in my wife and those tumors, please, in Jesus' name, be made whole. I went to Dallas. I believed with all my heart my wife was healed. My wife had no clue about any of this. She's on her way to Dr. Parchman's to do another sonogram. She goes to Dr. Parchman. She has her sonogram. The secretary says, Becky, what have you been doing lately? Are you doing anything? And she says, no, why? She said, you really need to go to Dr. Parchman right this minute. So then she thinks there's time they're going to be operated on. She goes, runs over to Dr. Parchman, gets into the office. And so Dr. Parchman goes, Rebecca, what have you been doing? You taking anything? Are you doing anything? She said, no. And he says, well, I don't know how to explain this. The tumor on the left is completely gone. And the tumor on the right is the size of my little fingernail. And God had completely healed her right then. Do you understand? That's documented. And see, there are those, maybe you're sitting here or listening live right now, you go, oh, you know, that's a bunch of bull. Don't ever call that a bunch of bull because I saw it. I saw what God did. Now, let me explain something differently to you. Now, years went by. Here we are right here. You remember what happened in 2010. I was sitting in my office, which now is over there. I have a larger office, nicer furniture. I was counseling a couple about 5 p.m. in the afternoon, for marriage counseling. And my wife, you know, had not been well. She went to the doctor, had been doing a bunch of testing. She sends me a text. She says, I have stage 4 lymphoma cancer. The people saw me, I mean, and they, on my face, I went completely white. I said, I have to leave. You see, sometimes you don't know why. And there she is, and she's so sick. And you know, it's heartbreaking because, see, I couldn't do anything to help her. You're helpless. So there, September there of 2010, you know, she's going in now. We know we're going to have to go through chemo. She'd go in for 4 hours a day, you know what I mean, and sit there in that chair. And as she did, she prayed over all the people that came in, never complained, never. She wrote a letter. I don't think I can read it because she wrote it to a dear friend of ours who said, tell me what happened. But I want to tell you what she did. She didn't complain about it. She stood her ground on the Word of God. And you know what she did? She woke up in the middle of the night, the day of her very first chemo. And here's what she said. I woke up in the middle of the night before treatment was scheduled that morning, and the Lord spoke to me. He said very clearly, I want you to get 5 smooth stones as David did to face this Philistine. Becky writes, well, I knew this was a word just for me, meaning I couldn't write a book as it wasn't a faith formula, how to kill a giant in your life. Remember, she's writing a letter to this individual. And she says, I got up the next morning. I went to his word, 1 Samuel 17:36 and following. And I knew from the word, from the Lord, that this was for me and this was our battle. What jumped at me were the pages of the word which said, the battle is the Lord's. He will give you into my hands. And then Thomas, our son, came from his home, came over that night when he found out that very night. He took mother or Becky in the back bedroom, which was his old bedroom, and he laid hands upon her, anointed her with oil. He said, you don't have to be afraid of cancer, Mom. Cancer has to be afraid of you. Now, God didn't heal her like he did the other time. Do you understand? He didn't do that. But we still believed. Do you understand what I'm saying? She went and got those 5 smooth stones. they're right there today. They are a memorial for her, for the goodness of God. Went through all 3 years of the treatment. Now she's completely cancer-free. But what I'm saying is, you see, there's a balance. I don't understand it all, but don't tell me that God can't heal, because I've seen him heal over and over and over. I've seen him use the gift of faith, and not just my life, but the lives of so many other people. But then there's one more thing that we have to cover very quickly, and that's one that's called the working of miracles in verse 10. Look at it. To another, the working of miracles. Now, the working of miracles, it's not the gift of miracles, it's the working of miracles. The working of miracles is a supernatural intervention of God's power in nature, into what we call our world. In other words, it's like when Moses parted the Red Sea. Would you say that was an incredible working of a miracle? Oh, absolutely. Or whenever in Joshua chapter 3, remember when the priest, when God told Joshua, he says, you get the Ark of the Covenant and the priest, and when they put their foot in the Jordan, it's going to dry up. In other words, God sent the water of the Jordan all the way back to the city of Adam. That's 20 miles, by the way. It stood up as a heap, and they crossed over on dry land. That is the working of a miracle. Or in Joshua, remember, the sun stood still. The moon stopped. God stopped the universe for one man. And it says, and he never did that again. Or Peter walking on water. Or Paul raising Eutychus from the dead. Or Jesus raising the widow of Nain's son from the dead. Or saying, Peter, go fishing down at the little creek there. And when you do, you catch the fish. The first fish you pull out, open his mouth, there's going to be a coin in it, and it's going to pay our taxes. Do you understand what I'm getting at? Those are all incredible, incredible miracles. Jesus turning the water to wine. And you know, there's so many times that you know I've seen a lot of miracles. I'm going to tell you about that in a minute. And so have you. You just don't know it. But I'll tell you this about miracles. There are a few that flow in the working of miracles that God uses. And there's a reason why. Go back and study just the last 200 years of those who really actually did God used in the working of miracles, and you look and see how their lives ended up not well. Why? Because people have a tendency, when they see a human being work in those kind of miracles that God does, not the person, but God, they exalt the person, don't they? Matter of fact, if you don't believe me, read Acts chapter 14. What does it say there? Whenever they healed, Paul healed the lame man, it says they cried out, the people cried out and said, oh, the gods have come down among us. And they named, I think, Apollos or whoever it was, Zeus, and they called him Mercury. Now listen, that's what happens. Very few people have the humility to flow in the working of miracles. And yet, this church, you see miracle nearly every Sunday. And all I sometimes hear is just a ho-hum, no big deal. You know, the Bible says in Luke 15:10, and I'm nearly through, just hold on with me. He says, Jesus said, likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God when the dead are raised. Is that what it says? When blind eyes are opened, whenever thousands are fed, whenever miracles occur. No. Jesus said, oh, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God when one sinner repents. That's a miracle. And whenever that occurs, the church should explode and rejoice with God. Listen to me. It is a miracle for God to save a person who is blinded by the God of this age, a person who is dead in trespasses and sins. They have physical life, but they have no spiritual life. They just go through the activities of life. They're totally in Adam, and in Adam all die. They're totally alienated from the life of God. They're held captive in darkness. They are literally hopeless and helpless without strength, and they are bound. They are bound to a place called hell. What a horrible place. Forever and ever. But for God to take that person who is lost and save that person, love them. To take that person and translate them out of the kingdom of the power of darkness over into the kingdom of his son.
We'll be back tomorrow with more of Pastor Bill's 1 Corinthians series, and we do hope you tune in again. Thanks everyone for listening with us, and please enjoy the rest of your day.
If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.